warm and friendly. Around his temples was a band of silver, a ruby at its center.
This stinking hovel makes me want to vomit, old man. My good brothers and sisters may become sickened from being here, but we shall not stay long.
And he smiled down at Ivan Ivanovich. That was before the pain and the blackness, when Ivan still had a name and knew who he was. The brutish woman came then, when everyone else was outside. The others called her Bezobraznaya, the ugly one. Through the open door, Ivan saw the bright flames as they danced and flared, caught the rich taste of the cooking meat, heard the devilish laughter. By then he supposed that everyone in the village was dead. Bezobraznaya, grimacing and farting, lowered her bulk to the side of the bed. He could smell her sour breath, the taint of kvass. The raiders had quickly found the kegs of the sour beer.
The men enjoy their fucking, little grandfather.
She reached out with her broad hand and touched Ivan beneath the chin. He tried to pull away, but the cords held him helpless. She smiled at his efforts, chided him. Her fingers ran through his straggly beard and the gray hair matted with sweat on his chest. Lower and lower she touched him, bringing her face nearer to his. The little eyes, buried in fat like a suckling pig's, came nearer. Her lips opened, and she kissed him, the stubble on her cheeks and chin scraping against his flesh. For a second, he tried again to resist her foulness, but then she gripped his shrunken manhood.
Kiss me, sweet brother, else I tug this off your belly, easy as wringing a chick's neck. Real sweet kiss, like you and your good wife relished.
Her lips pressed to his, and he fought to respond, closing his eyes against the vileness. Her hand caressed him, rousing him. Her mouth tasted of the stolen food that once belonged to the good people of Ozbarchik. She reclined, releasing him, fumbling with her leather breeches, dropping them over her pallid, wrinkled thighs.
She de kasha pisha nasha. The only food is cabbage soup and gruel.
Somehow the child's verse was a foul obscenity on her chapped lips, and he nearly threw up. Again he restrained himself, knowing that this monstrous harridan would kill him if he didn't please her. The woman heaved herself up and squatted over his thighs, grinning, trying to bring him to erection.
Not much of you, is there? Not in the way of a man, huh? Not a problem. Something stirring, I swear. Not much of a fucking worm, but better than...
The ultimate nightmare was that she succeeded. Despite everything that had passed, Ivan Ivanovich became more roused than he had for many impotent years. He thrust up against her, grinding his hips against her muscular buttocks. She reached a gasping climax, accompanied by the cheers of the dozen or so bandits that had come in from the bitterly cold night to watch the show. Bezobraznaya heaved herself off him, depriving him of the small pleasure of his own orgasm, sitting down again.
Please.
Her eyes narrowed, and she slapped him brutally across the face, nearly knocking him unconscious. He could taste his own blood from a cut lip.
Please! I use you. That's all, you little shit. Honor for him, isn't it, brother? If there's time after Uchitian's done with you, grandfather, I might come again and use you some more.
When the leader returned to the hut, the others crept out like beaten curs. Ivan Ivanovich looked up from eyes made puffy with weeping, seeing the great fire from the ruby on Uchichil's silver headband seeming to fill the room. Now that the others were gone, the fear was greater.
Oh, I see you've been hurt.
He touched the cuts across Ivan's chest and thighs, where the blood had dried.
Is there silver in this dung heap, old man? Tell me about any gold or silver or guns or more food. Tell me, old man. Come, sing me a song that will make me smile, and you can go free and live.
Ivan's mouth opened, and a single word crept out.
Nothing.
I am not a common bandit. I have the art of reading and writing, old man. I have books. Books from before the great winter. I have books that show where the town stood, with pictures of the clothes that men and women wore. Do you hear me? Open your eyes!
The man's voice touched the dark places of Ivan's mind with a shudder. Past and present ebbed and flowed. It was a dream, and hopefully soon he'd wake. He'd be warm against the rutting body of the little Yevgenia. Despite the cleft palate and the skin ailment that made her face like the scaly back of a fish, she could come closest to stirring him. The memory of the pain was only a shade of the blackness. He'd wake, and it would all be done. Even the man Uchichil who...
Wake up and look at me! Use your eyes!
To Ivan, the words were senseless, as was the laugh that followed them.
I tell you, I have books, and I can read them. Even a book that tells me how to speak with the Americans across the ice river east of here. Think of that. But I talk and you listen. Now you must talk, and Uchitio will listen.
What?
The gold and the silver you have hidden. A book of old times, far before the long winter, tells that peasants, filth like you, hoard riches. You pretend to be poor, but you are not. What of that?
Ivan Ivanovich was delirious, hardly knowing how he forced out a reply. Everything was blurred and shimmering, like objects seen through the glowing heat above a stove.
Nothing.
No?
Yet.
Then you will meet Pietchal.
Sorrow?
Yes, Sorrow. He is well named, grandfather. He takes his only pleasure from torture. You will speak with him.
But I swear, I know nothing, sir. Please, my lord, nothing. By St. Gregory, I swear it.
Swear by all the saints you want. Only the truth about your secret stores will spare your life.
Uchitil didn't truly believe that such a stinking hamlet as Ozbarchik could possibly have anything worth hiding, but his men liked to dream. Sometimes they had actually discovered little caches of